Should we just get started since Gogs isn't going to be here for a little while?
Yeah, let's do what we do when we do.
All right. I'm already recording. Hey, everybody. It is the movie, the podcast. And it's just me, Alec, and Sean at the moment. But Gogs will be joining us after, I don't know, his new stepmother visits or something. I don't know.
Fucking his father-in-law.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That guy's always up to something crazy. Yeah. But this week we watched The Island of Dr. Moreau, a movie I've never seen, which everybody
was very surprised. I haven't seen it either.
And fun story, I got really drunk with Gogs on Saturday. We went and got Korean barbecue, and I kind of watched it with him, but I was kind of in and out of consciousness. So I've watched this movie like 1.5 times. I watched it again on Sunday. Yeah.
This is one of those movies that's like famous for being a bomb, but it's also like famous for like how horrific the production was.
I mean, we're going to get into it. I don't think this movie is very good, but I also think this is like a normie bad movie. This is like a Spider-Man 3 bad movie.
Yeah.
Like the movie, like Sean said, the movie had a horrible production, and you can tell in the finished product because this movie is just all over the fucking place. Yeah. Like this movie, yeah.
Val Kilmer just disappears for
like most of the movie,
quarters of the movie.
Yeah. I know in the movie he's supposed to be like this sort of like Dennis Hopper and Apocalypse Now type character, but like he seemed to be like heft up on goofballs.
Marlon Brando is supposed to be a Marlon Brando and Apocalypse Now type character.
Yeah. And apparently like Marlon Brando, while making the movie, would just make like random demands that weren't in the script. Like there's a part in the movie where he's clearly just wearing like a bucket on his head. And he says something like my thermatic converters like empty. And then Furusa Bulk puts ice in his water bucket head. I don't know. I'm going to bury the lead. I didn't hate this movie. I found it wildly entertaining for all the wrong reasons, but we'll get into it. Some truly horrendous CGI in this movie also, like with the little, like, I guess they were rat men. I don't even know what the hell they were supposed to be.
I kind of
loved them, but they looked so bad.
Like, they were like abomination versions of Rizzo the Rat.
It's like if the Muppets did that Marvel story Ruins, where all the Muppets are just all fucked up.
I never read that. I gotta read that.
It's good. It's really good. The art is amazing. I mean, it's like, I don't think you'll like it because it's like the most depressing like story that I think Marvel's. I can't believe Marvel actually published it under, like, not under like a another company, you know, like an Elseworld or whatever Marvel calls their Elseworld shit. But it's very.
They just have like What If. They don't really have Elseworlds.
Well, they have Mac. They had Max.
The alternate universe. Wasn't Max still like part of canon? No. It was just like darker characters.
That's up for debate because the only like book that really caught on for Max was Punisher. And Punisher is kind of like its own thing anyway. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess it's canon, but like, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember they had like a War Machine Max book. I never read that. They had a Luke Cage Max book that was pretty good. But yeah, they were all kind of like street level stories. I'm probably missing a big one, but the Punisher
was great. I really liked the Marvel Knights line that they had for a while.
Yeah.
That Spider-Man run and that Fantastic Four run were both so good. Excellent.
Even I hate these characters, but even the Inhuman Marvel Knights book was really good with Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee. That shit was great. And Daredevil, oh my God, the Daredevil was incredible. That that's kind of why we have Daredevil, like the TV show now, because I feel like that version of the character, they kind of brought it back to like the Frank Miller kind of vibe of Daredevil. Anyway, we're talking comics.
Comics and movies.
Sean, how do you feel about the Marvel Knights line of comic books? Oh, Sean might not. He might only be here as
in spirit.
All right, let's talk about what we watched. I watched a whole shit ton of things, but
well, you watched one movie that I want to see, and I watched a movie that you want to see.
Ooh, what did you watch? Go ahead. What did you watch, see that I wanted to see?
The only thing I watched this week was The Accountant 2.
Oh, how was it? How was
Stacey it? Surprised me and took me to it yesterday because she.
Oh, how nice.
We were both off, and she knew how much I'd been looking forward to seeing it. She got tickets and surprised me.
Friend of the show, your wife. She's a delight.
Friend of the show and my life partner.
Your wife.
Literally the greatest person I've ever met.
Shout out to Stacey. She is a delight. I always love being around her. She's great, and she's wonderful, and you picked a good one.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. The Accountant 2, I thought it was really good.
That's good to hear. I like a lot of mixed reviews, but I mean, I love the first one.
Yeah, it's not quite as good as the first one. I was just reading a bunch of reviews on it right before I got on. Like, mm-hmm. Some people are saying they think it's better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was quite as good as the first one. I thought it was still really good. And really, your mileage at the movie is going to... Or how much you like the movie is based on how much mileage you get out of John Bernthal and Chris's name in the movie. Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck and John Bernthal's like banter.
I mean,
like their chemistry is so goddamn good. The more
Bernthal, the better for me. I can't get enough of that guy.
The action scenes are incredible. Like if you liked the first one, I don't know how you don't like this one. And I saw a bunch of people saying they didn't. But most people that I saw thought it was great. And I thought it was really good. I wouldn't say it was great. But the first one is excellent. This one dives. It doesn't go into their past really at all.
Did you know they were brothers?
It doesn't really go into their past at all, but it explores some other like cool aspects of, I guess, their world. Mm-hmm. And like Christian Wolf, what he's doing with all his money that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's kind of a mild spoiler, but it's not spoiling anything like crazy. But like, he's turning that Harvard neuroscience place where he grew up and that is like the school for autistic kids from the first one. He's basically turning that like into his own version of the X-Men. Like it's turning into like Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters.
I can already see where people probably got upset at that because you know I read that they take the autism thing and people are upset about it, and it's just like I don't really. It's just an action movie, guys. Calm down.
But man, like it's really good. The action sequences are really good. J.K. Simmons is great. I can't remember the actress's name who plays the, like, I guess sometime between movies, like, they switch places. Because J.K. Simmons was, like, the head of, like, the FTC or something.
Right.
And sometime between movies, he, like, stepped down and she took over as, like, the head. What's her name? Cynthia Adia Robinson.
Maybe that is.
Yeah, I really don't know that I've seen her in anything else. Except for this and The Accountant. She was in Columbiana. I never saw that.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't know this until I saw some review of it. This is a theatrical release from Amazon Films. This was produced by Amazon Films. So I guess it'll show up on Prime here probably soon.
Fantastic, because I really want to see it again. They're usually pretty quick with getting their stuff on there.
Oh yeah.
And like I really
So did you like it? I missed kind of the big chunk of the review.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. It's not quite as good as the first one, but I saw some reviews where people think it exceeded the first one. But I really thought it was a lot of it.
Was it because it didn't surprise you in the same way the first one did, or is it just
probably
didn't like it as
probably because like the first one I didn't have expectations. I just went and saw it because like it was the movie playing at the time that I went to the center and wanted to see a movie. Like it was probably before like digital ticketing almost. No.
You know, it came out 10 years ago.
That shit blew my mind. Yeah, 2016. So it was right when I was starting to buy tickets like online before just going.
Before you bankrupted MoviePass.
I couldn't believe that movie was, that first one was 10 years old. I'm like, Jesus.
Well, crazy. You guys didn't see it till like
Well, I guess, no, I didn't see it till way later. Yeah.
No, I thought it was gonna suck dicks.
Pre-COVID, but not pre-COVID.
I remember the marketing campaign for it was pretty shitty. Like that.
It just looked like a boilerplate. It just looked like a boilerplate like action movie. Like mm-hmm. It didn't look like anything special.
And I want to say Arnthal wasn't even in the like trailer and shit.
Maybe no, it looked like a Jason Statham movie.
Yeah, yeah.
No offense.
R.I.P. but no, I thought it was really good. I think you guys have probably both really really enjoy it. There was some fat that could have been trimmed, and it got like there's a little bit. Some of the plot lines got a little long, but overall, I thought it was really good, and everybody's in it is very good.
Oh my god, the Orioles scored a run before the other team. Shit.
Hey, real quick, somebody's asking if my thoughts on Marvel Knights, real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could you hear me?
No, we couldn't hear you.
Oh, the Inhumans is great because Jay Lee drew it. I think the Black Panther, the Chris Priest Black Panther. Panther.
Oh, that shit was. I knew. I said I missed a big one. Yeah, that Black Panther one was great. The
Daredevil, I really like Joe Quesada's art. I think it's a mileage may vary. Too. Kevin Smith's writing doesn't hold up particularly well.
I liked it at the time.
Did you ever read the Daredevil Father, the Quesada, where he wrote Andrew, and it's super weird? I like that.
I like
that. The Punisher, was that the Angel one? Was that Marvel Knights or was that Max?
So the funny thing is the Angel one was Knights, and then Ennis took over and then was like, got rid of all of it. He's like, this is stupid.
Yeah, that shit was dumb.
It was fucking terrible, but it did usher in, I would say, the greatest, like the Ennis Punisher between Knights and Max is the like that is the fundamental comics
for
the
Punisher.
Like I know a lot of people sour, especially lately. It seems like people are sour on his writing, but like dude, I mean his Punisher is amazing.
He's one of those guys that might work a little bit better sometimes with restraints. Than without, Crossed is kind of, but Preacher's great. So I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, not everything's going to be a home run. But that Preacher's Jay Lee art on Inhumans is some of my favorite comic book art.
I mean, Jay Lee is a fucking master. I still couldn't believe. I think it was 2 years ago at Baltimore Comic Con. I was just walking around, and he was by himself at his table. I was like, how is he not mobbed? Like the guy's like a god to me. Like
Deathmate, do you remember that crossover book?
Of course.
Apparently, the editor from Valiant was so pissed at Jay Lee, because I think Jay Lee penciled one of those, that he sat on his doorstep while he penciled it and inked it while he was fucking drawing it because it was so far behind.
Holy shit. Yeah, I remember that was like that. I mean, that was kind of the downfall of,
end of Valiant. Image. Yeah.
Well, and Valiant too, but remember, Image was like horrible for like. There would be like 6 month delays between books.
Yeah. I think that Weiss Portacio book, Wetworks, I think that got solicited for like 2 years before it came out. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to get that on the record.
Try.
You ever read the Fantastic Four or the Spider-Man Marvel Knights?
Both are really good.
No. Sean? The only Fantastic Four I read was the Hickman run with the Future Foundation, which I thought was really good.
So good.
The Marvel Knights run's one of my favorite runs, because like at the beginning of it, they like lose all their money.
Yeah.
And like Mr. Fantastic is doing like accounting work, like to make some money for the family.
Yeah.
And I forget, like they're all doing like regular ass jobs. And it's really neat. It's really cool. There's this, well, I won't get it.
The only thing I know about Fantastic Four besides that run really is when they would cross over with X-Men, specifically the Days of Future Present annual crossover.
Oh yeah.
But anyway.
And the Spider-Man run is was it the Sinister 12?
Wasn't that Umberto Ramos with the art on that one? Am I right?
No, that was Spectacular Spider-Man.
I'm a big fan of his stuff. Yeah.
He does one of my him and
Bagley?
No. He's a good one. But
Bagley's great.
Was it Ramos? Was it Pacheco?
Oh, Chris Pacheco.
Chris Pacheco.
I love that.
They really like his name, elongated features and everything.
Yeah.
It's like perfect for Spider. He had like really long spindly finger. He looked like a spider almost. Yeah. It was really, I thought he was like one of my favorite artists. No, I don't think
Isaiah Pacheco, I don't think the running back for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Well, he did one
of CEH's job.
Me and TJ's favorite books, the Sandman spinoffs, the Death books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. So good. Anyway, Alec, what other, did you watch any Lifetime movies?
Oh, I did actually watch one.
Nice.
It was called, I can't remember what it was called.
Unmarried, My Dad's Ghost.
Oh, we didn't watch that one yet. I forget what it was.
We should play a game. What? Is it a Lifetime movie or a Chuck Tingle novel?
I was just about to say that, yeah. Pounded in the butt by
my own butt.
I'm gonna sign this TikTok and send it to you guys that Stacy sent me. She's got this TikTok and she sent it to me. And it's a black author who's writing books like
Quan
that.
Quan Mills is the guy's name.
Quan, yeah.
This, yeah, oh my god, I was dying.
This hoe has roaches. It was like
I'm in love with a ghetto velociraptor or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so good.
Somebody needs to like get a hold of Quan Mills, and they need to make like those like really like low budget like Tubi movies based off Quan Mills books, because I'd watch every single one of them.
Oh hell yeah!
Oh for sure.
The shitty that, you CGI, know what?
The podcast needs to get into movie producing. We need to contact Quan Mills. Maybe like $500 budget movies, but like they'd be incredible.
I already played that. I hated that game. That's a young man's game.
Fucking Peter. You guys got Peter Hyams to direct this?
Yeah. Sean.
I watched a bunch of shit. One of them I think is tabled because TJ also watched it, and I want to talk about
it. Gogs watched it too.
Well, I don't know if Gogs is getting done fingering his uncle or whatever.
Yeah.
But I watched Ford versus Ferrari again, because that's sneaky. One of my favorite movies, I think.
That movie rocks. It's just
a good-ass movie. It's a certified good-ass movie. It's just a movie for dudes that turned into old men that like movies. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's just so solid. Like, it is like a workman-like film that I enjoy a lot. I watched three of the ESPN Untolds.
Oh, cool.
I watched the Johnny Manziel one. I like that dude more and more as I get older, because he's just like, I just want to do blow and party. Yeah. And like, I respect that. And he got fucking hosed with, you know, these. I think they said that Texas A&M sold 2 million of his jerseys pre-NIL.
And he didn't get like
$100 a pop at least.
Yeah, no, he didn't get
probably more. Sick.
I watched the murder of Air McNair, which is still sad.
My fourth favorite Ravens quarterback of all time.
You might want to watch it just for the fact that they took the Titans footage and like remastered it. So it's in like super clear, almost 4K HD, but it's from, you know, 97 and 98, which is a very strange aesthetic. Like you're used to seeing it in some kind of way. And I watched the Malice in the Palace one. And it's like, fuck those fans. Like, you know, they should have beat up the entire stadium. Like this whole, like, oh, I paid my ticket. I know they're millionaires or whatever, but they're still people. You know what I mean? Like, they're not billionaires. Yeah. They're not fucking capital owners, like, ruining your life. They're just dudes that are good at basketball.
Well, and, like, one thing that I hate about, like, discourse about, like, sports is people, and it's always from people that don't care about sports, but they're like, these guys make too much money. It's like, okay, that is, if that's your opinion, then think about how much money the owners are making,
right?
Like, you know what I mean?
If they're labor, that's why I'm for their unions and their strikes and shit.
1,000%. If they can afford to pay Juan Soto $700 million, then how much are they making? That's really who you should point your ire to, not the guys that are like getting the money again. I go back to when I was a fucking child and everybody was like, oh, Mike Mussina sucks, he sold out, blah, blah, blah. Bro, if someone's like going to give you a like huge contract and you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, you're going to turn it down? Give me a break.
Mike Mussina, like, Super Bowl pitcher.
It's like, okay, well, you're not going to be loyal to Burger King even though Arby's is going to give you $6 more an hour? Like, no, see you later. Like, big beef and cheddar all day long.
I get so tired of that. And it's just like, well, teachers don't make enough money. It's like, yes, I agree with you. How about that?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Well, you know what? You know what?
we're talking, you know, we're talking capitalism. There's a supply and demand thing. There's a whole lot of people that can teach. Yeah. Not that many people can dunk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, true.
I had a buddy that was like not a sports guy. He's like an academic. And you guys remember Aaron Brooks, the quarterback for the Saints?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I guess he has like a paleontology degree or something. And somebody was like, oh, why does he just be a paleontologist? Like, because they don't get signature shoes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he can do that shit later.
In a game than he did.
Yeah.
He would make it a year as a paleontologist.
Yeah. But I'm watching this thing, and this guy runs out on the court and he wants to start trouble. And it's like, what are you, a 5'7 fat guy, thinking squaring up with Ron Artest in his prime, who's like 6'6 and 260, not solid muscle.
Built like a brick shit house, but is legitimately insane.
Right. And then you got Steven Jackson, who's also a fucking psycho. Like, what are you thinking? You deserve, just for your poor decision making, to get at your ass beat. That's just ridiculous.
Was Latrell Sprewell? I forget. Was Latrell Sprewell wasn't part of that, was he? He just choked.
He was not involved.
Or earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. That was earlier. Ben Wallace was involved. Yeah. And Ben Wallace's voice is so deep, he sounds like the devil. Washington Bullets legend, Ben Wallace.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. And then the last thing I watched was Havoc. TJ, I don't know what else you watched, but I'll wait till.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get into that one in a minute. So it's me now. I watched three
things. This is me now.
I watched three things. Okay. I watched a Woman in the Yard, the new
about that lady in the yard.
Lady in the yard, not woman. Is it lady or
no,
woman?
No, it is Woman in the Yard. It's about a lady in a yard.
So like I don't know. I didn't hate this movie. But like, it's funny because it's Blumhouse trying to make the Babadook, and I felt like,
oh no, don't do that.
I mean, I felt like there's a lot of like, there's a lot of good things in the movie, but I felt like everything in it is very telegraphed, and I was just like, oh, like it's like, I know it's like quote unquote, I get tired of the term, but that's what it is. It's elevated horror. I mean, it's the Babadook, right? Like the right. Woman in the Yard represents grief and. It's one of those things where it's like, I felt like I'd seen it before, and there's some cool like visual stuff in it, but it has the same problem that I'll get into with another movie I watched this week, where the movie would be so much better if it didn't like show you everything. And like, it's good to leave things to mystery. And when you constantly cut back and forth to like, oh, it's about our kids. And then you cut to the kids, like as an audience, you can figure that out from context. You don't have to like, cut immediately to it.
And so is it it's like the what do you call it? The fucking Departed to the Babadook's Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Because I was watching some like reviews on it after I watched it, and people are like, oh, you know, this represents this. And it's like, yeah, of course it, like, this is like baby's first metaphor. Like, yeah, that's anyone could figure that out. Like, and it doesn't make the movie like deep or meaningful because it has a metaphor in it. Like it's very surface level and it's very easy to figure out. I mean, again, everything in the movie they show you, and it's like, I don't know. Like, again, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it is a like very wet five. You know what I mean? It's just kind of there. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
Because of the poster, I guess, I just looked at it briefly and I thought it was a woman in a hijab, so I thought it was like an Iranian horror movie.
No, that would have been better. I don't know, it's just kind of there. And again, sadly, the next movie I'm going to talk about, I felt the same way. It was much higher budget, a movie I was really, really looking forward to, but I saw Sinners, a movie that seems to be like universally loved, and I didn't love it. I thought it was kind of boring, and I'm not going to spoil anything.
I'm sorry. Did you see the meme where it's Bradley Whitford from Get Out, and it's like, I would have rated it six stars on Letterboxd. White people are in love with this movie.
I know, and I, you know, it's just like I said about the last movie, because I made a TikTok about it, and people are like, you just didn't understand it. And it's like, no, I understood it. Like, it's all very surface level. Hey, Gogs.
Hey, buddy.
Just Gogs. In time. We're just talking about what we watched this week. I'm going now. Alec already went. He saw The Accountant too. He loved it. Sean watched some sports documentaries. Love those. And I am currently talking about Sinners, which, again, I will not spoil because I know probably everybody wants to watch it. I didn't think it was a horrible movie, but I was expecting more from Ryan Coogler. I think the biggest problem I had with this movie is that, what's the matter, dude? You all right? Goggs looks very confused, and it's concerning me.
The sound is coming out of my speakers, not my headphones. Just ignore me until I figure it out.
You just got to change the thing. You got to change the audio out. Anyway,
mucilage.
The thing with Sinners is, like, you watch the trailer, right, and you're like, okay, they're stuck in this, like, barn, and they got the vampires and yada, yada, yada. That doesn't happen until, like, an hour and 10 minutes into the movie. Like, it takes so long to get started, and I don't know, once it actually gets going, it just feels like a movie you've already seen before. And, like, all the flair and all of the, like, things that make it different don't make it any good. Like, there's this voiceover in the very beginning about how, like, you know, once a generation there's, like, a musical talent that, like, brings out, like, evil spirits or something. But again, like, it explicitly tells you that. It would be nice if the movie, like, showed that to you instead of explicitly telling you this is what's happening, because it's just like, it just kills it for me. Like, I don't like being talked down to in a movie. Like, the movie made me feel like stupid. And again, like, I don't think it's bad. I think that you're, like Sean just said, your mileage may vary. You're probably not as hard on movies as I am, but I was expecting so much more from a filmmaker I really like. Again, it's not bad. It's well made. It looks great. The acting is great. Michael B. Jordan's wonderful. Haley Seinfeld is great. Delroy Lindo has a really good performance in the movie. I just wanted more.
He's from always him. Good. Yep. Yeah. First Delroy, movie, best movie.
He looked young in the trailer. Like, it took. He had to speak before I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Delroy Lindo plays this, like, blues player, and he's, like, really good in the movie. Everybody's good in the movie. That's what makes it so frustrating, because it's just like, it's just, to me, it was just, again, it's
is
like
it fun. Is it salvageable with another pass, or is it just like the intent is just kind of like bringing it down?
I mean, again, like, I think the movie is better if you cut out 45 minutes of it, because it takes so long to get to the fucking point of the movie. It's like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory, the movie?
And I, like, all these presentation at work the other day, and I used that slide. When are we going to get to the fireworks factory?
It's awesome. But I it's funny because, you know, everybody that commented on my TikTok's like, well, it's not really about the vampires. And to my question is, then what is it about? because maybe I did miss this, like, deeply rooted thing, and it's like, oh, it's about, like, black culture. It's like, no, I understand that. Yeah. But, like, the antagonists of the movie are the vampires, and it's like,
like, not for nothing, not, and not to criticize our white friends, but just because the movie's full of black people does not mean the movie is explicitly about black culture. I haven't seen the movie, but
it kind of is, though. But, like, it's not to say that, like, it's not about the vampires. I'm sorry. I think you're doing, you know, we always talk about this sometimes where it's like a movie we like and we kind of do work for it. I think people want to like this movie, so they want to add a lot more, like, weight to what they saw. And again, like, I left the theater, I think I texted Sean, like, I really wanted to like this movie. And when I walked out of the theater, I was like, I didn't really like that. And one other thing, I left. The credits rolled, I left. Apparently, there's a fucking post-credit scene, so you can fuck right off with that.
Yeah.
Ooh, like, in the Sinners shared universe.
Put that in the fucking movie. Like, stop with this post-credit bullshit. Like, I don't care.
Thing regarding the movie so far I saw was Sauce Gardner tweeted, out of respect for my dog Josh Allen, I refuse to see Sinners.
Oh, that is, I'm glad you brought that up. It's like, people, like, I don't know, man. Sometimes, like, I just shake my head at the world, because, like, everybody's bringing that up because there's some, like, spicy scenes between Michael B. Jordan and Haley Seinfeld, but, like, it's a movie, guys. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, are we children? And
those people bringing it up are Shameik Moore, who is in shambles.
Oh, well, that guy's, that is hilarious. But, like, it's a movie, people. Like, you know, they didn't really have sex, right? Like, it's just a movie. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a Vincent Gallo movie.
Counterpoint, you don't know that.
Yeah.
That they didn't have sex? I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they didn't have sex. Maybe they did. I don't know. I mean, they're both attractive people. Like, you know,
Josh Allen beats Michael B. Jordan's ass, right? Like, in a real fight, he's twice his size.
Michael B. Jordan's pretty big. How big is Michael B. Jordan, like, height-wise?
I don't think he's, like, 6'6", 250 or 360 like Josh Allen is.
Josh Allen, dude. But, like, again, it's a movie guy. But I don't know. I'd love to hear everyone else's thoughts on the movie. I even said this in my review on TikTok. I'm perfectly willing to accept that I'm wrong about this. Like, it's not a movie that I feel, like, super strongly about because, like, I wanted to like it so much, and I feel guilty for not liking it, to be perfectly honest. Like, and again, I didn't hate it. It's a 5. It's, like, it's just there. It's nothing I'll ever watch again, and I'm just disappointed in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that I'm sucks. Not mad. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Like, it sucks, too, because I was looking forward to that the same way I was looking forward to Mickey 17 and movies from directors I really like, and now I'm just like,
Didn't like that one either. Yeah. And then the last thing I watched, three of us watched, and so it was tabled. I watched the new Gareth Evans film, Havoc. I loved it. It is a banger. Throwback. It is a throwback to like 90s action movies with some of the most fantastic action sequence. Like Gareth Evans, like, is there a Lifetime Achievement Award for like being just a kick-ass action director? Because this guy, like, it's such a simple movie. Like, it's just a classic 90s.
The plot is almost irrelevant, and that's fine. Yeah.
But, like, the plot, at the same time, the plot is very tightly written.
Yeah.
Everything makes sense. I thought that Tom Hardy did a great job. I thought that Forrest Whitaker did a great job. The girl that plays Tom Hardy's, like, partner is great in it. Like, I love the movie.
I love a cunty Timothy Elephant performance.
Dude, it was so good. And I loved, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Crying Freeman, because you got like the triads or I don't know what they were, but
they're the triads. Yeah, they're Chinese.
It was so good. Like, I loved it. Evans can't do anything. He hasn't made a bad movie. Like, everything he's made has been a fucking banger.
It got really mixed reviews, and I'm like trying to figure out why. And I think what it comes down to is, and I know everybody's guilty of this, but it falls into the, oh, it's meant to be this. So, like, I keep seeing John Wick. This movie is besides not the fact John that there Wick. Are guns in it, is not no. a John Wick movie. John Wick's about, movie, like, a superhuman assassin.
This is hard-boiled. This is not John Wick.
It's The Night Comes for Us. Like, yes. it's
well, they even an have Asian there's even movie. That part where they have the fucking hatchets, like, or the butcher knives, like they did in The Night Comes for Us, yeah.
There is a scene with a harpoon gun in this movie that ruined my entire weekend.
So cool. Like, I loved it, man.
It's so hard boiled. Like, I fucking adored this movie. And like, I texted the guys,
like,
it is irresponsibly violent. Like, I haven't seen a movie. Like, I can't believe that they thought, I guess somebody thought this was going to be some big blockbuster movie. I'm like, did anybody watch this before they signed up? Like, it is not for regular. Like, it's way more gross than even a John Wick movie. You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't have as gross as The Night Comes for Us.
No.
But it's close.
Because they couldn't actually kill anybody in this movie for real. Like, in those movies.
Doggs, what did you think, buddy?
I didn't see Havoc yet.
I thought you watched it.
No, I wanted to. I've just been, I had no opportunity to. I might tonight. I might, so good. I might get on the old stationary bike and watch Havoc and see if it gets the blood pumping.
I know I said it in the text, but for the benefit of the two people that aren't in our text messages that listen to this, like, I texted TJ like,
Ryan O'Hearn, 3-run home run. Let's go. Wow. 4-0 O's. Sorry.
It's like they finally made a good Max Payne movie. You know what I mean? It has Sam Lake fucking like ridiculously hard boiled. You know what I mean? Like, it's got the thumb and the bullet hole. Tom Hardy's doing his weird accent. Fucking Forrest Whitaker is matching him with his even weirder accent.
Yeah, and like, just Tom Hardy plays like the fucking, like, kind of, you think he, like, what I did like about the movie, it's kind of subversion, like, you think he's like the shitty cop, but it turns out that he's the guy that's kind of like the grief eater, and he's actually the most righteous cop that in that force.
But he's still crooked, you know what I mean? Like, he's not redeemed really. it's just like it this movie fucking rules, and it wastes zero time dicking around with the setup. You know what I mean?
The runtime is like
it's like an hour forty. Hours. It's the same. It's the same, almost the exact same runtime as the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Dude, it's so good. I loved it. It is like, just keep giving me action movies like this. Keep letting Gareth Evans make action movies, because this guy, I mean, I was like, I really wanted Goggs to watch this, because this has those like
Goggs. This is a Goggs movie.
This is Goggs shaking in his chair because the action is so fucking intense and cool. Like, there's a scene in a club that's fucking amazing. Like
every gross action movie needs a nightclub scene.
Yeah, dude, it's a fucking masterpiece. This is going to end up in my top 10 at the end of the year. There's no doubt.
I loved it. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about this movie. Tom Hardy fucking rules. Tom Hardy's just great. Goggs?
Yeah, I loved it. Goggs, what'd you watch, buddy?
I've just been binging Severance.
Such a good show.
Hardcore. Yeah. So, I got through the entire, I think I did the entire first season last week. I guess we've all seen it at this point.
Except Alec. I don't think seen it.
I thought Alec had.
It's so good. Alec, you'll like it. It's so good.
It's nuts. And it's like, I'm captivated in a way that I have not been captivated by a TV show in quite a long time. Like, I'm like, really, I need to know where this is going. And I'm hopeful it doesn't disappoint. I will say that I'm glad I'm watching.
It doesn't. The second season is really good.
Yeah.
So is it just two seasons thus far?
They already renewed it for a third.
Goggs, I think you'll benefit from watching them back to back, because I actually watched it and then waited like 3 years. So it felt to me, the second season felt like it took forever to get going, but I think TJ watched it straight through.
It didn't suffer from the same issue.
I don't know how I could have, like, not for nothing, the way the first season ended, I don't know if I could have dealt with more episodes for a while, because the ending of the first season is so tense and bananas.
Settle an argument between Zach and I.
Okie doke.
Ellie or the, what's her name? It kind of is a spoiler, but
the counselor lady, the HR lady.
Yeah.
Ellie.
That's correct. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Counselor lady.
Oh, no, dude. Oh my God. That girl is, oof. Actually, she's in a movie that I really want to watch. It's like, it's got like the worst title. It's like, I wrote about a serial killer or something, but like, it looks Red Letter said it's got like 90s indie, like wannabe Tarantino vibes, and Steve Buscemi's in it. I was like, yeah, I need to watch that.
And I mean, I'll throw one in Patricia Arquette's old ass at this point too.
She still looks great.
And not for nothing, I kind of want the gentleman that plays Milchek.
Oh, he's awesome.
I want him to be in whatever Predator prequel where he gets to be Dylan. Because he's giving off like
he's great.
Somebody said they should cast him
in a Barry Bonds biopic. I'm like, oh, that's exactly perfect.
Like Barry Bonds, it's wild.
He is like, I don't know what else he has done. And let me put some respect on this gentleman's name. Trammell Tillman is his name.
Yeah, that guy's great.
In a cast full of great performances, I'm gonna say I think he's like the best actor in this thing, because
I don't know, man, the romance between John Turturro and Christopher Walken, I think, is
so good.
I love that, but like,
yeah,
like,
I also like
John Turturro is so fucking good in that show, though.
What's his name in the show? Wyatt, the like heavyset guy that was in
Dylan.
I love that guy. That guy,
I saw him show up on screen. I was like, that's the dude that was live streaming the fight from Shang-Chi. I was like,
what's that?
Remember in Shang-Chi when they're on the bus?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're having the fight, and the guy's like, hey, what's up, fam? These guys are fighting.
You're right. I know martial arts. But he's also in Fallout. Remember, he's like one of the, like,
I never saw Fallout.
Wait till Dylan season two. You haven't seen that show?
Fallout, dude. Fallout's so good.
I've not seen Fallout. There's things
that blows my mind, dude. Watch Fallout. Put that on your list next. It's really good. And you love the
game. But watch Havoc first.
I watch Havoc first, and then I will watch the rest of Severance, and then I will watch Fallout.
Fallout's excellent.
Oh, I got a lot of bike time.
I also real quick, I'm sorry. I also watched all of the show The Pit, the hospital show. It's fine. I think the only hospital show I actually like is The Nick. But
I heard that The Pit's really gross, though, like The Nick. That's what I...
Yeah,
I mean, was it compelling enough for you? It must have been compelling enough for you to watch.
Well, she was watching it, and I was shopping for fucking Pontiac Solstices on Facebook Marketplace, but...
classic car.
Just have a fuck-around car, but...
Isn't the Pontiac Solstice, doesn't it have the same... Wasn't it like the Mercedes? Saturn
Sky.
No,
you're thinking of the Chrysler Crossfire and Mercedes SLK. I was also looking at those SLKs, but
oh, you get yourself a little cruise around.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, I don't got nothing to leave nobody to. So, yeah. Well, my big V8, my little European car, but it's good. Like maybe it's just a me thing. Like I deal with enough tragedy every day that I don't want to also sit and watch like real tragedy. I want to see like Yakuza tragedy.
You want to see like people getting blown apart with shotguns and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
Getting Napoleon blown apart.
Anything else, Gogs?
I don't not if I did, I don't remember. So let's just say no.
Yeah. Watch Havoc. If
You'll love it.
You'll get a kick out of this, but like, there's certain movies I watch where I was just like, because it's like a very important moment in my life watching Kick-Ass next to you and feeling the energy coming off of you. Yeah. I'll never forget that till the day I die. And like you were shaking. You're like going, and I want to say you're like you were going. Ooh.
I had that experience with Gogs watching The Villainous the first time.
Oh, that movie rules! That's a good one.
Both those movies kick pile ass. I enjoyed them thoroughly. Don't get it twisted.
All right, Gogs. I love your work cut out for you on this one.
Real quick about this movie story.
Go ahead.
Can I don't know if anybody else got this vibe, but it felt like a cross between Planet of the Apes and a Muppet movie for some reason. And like, I could not shake that the whole time.
I was telling the boys, Gogs, that like, I kind of watched this with you, but I was so drunk. I was like in and out of consciousness. Yeah,
you started snoring every once in a while. I was like, he's going to rewatch this.
I rewatched it the next day. But I mean, we had a great time. But Gogs introduced me to this way of drinking Korean beer, where you basically make like a boiler maker with soju. And I think I polished off four of those big beers. So I was
You did a fair amount of light. It was a heavy night of light drinking. So
Anyway. Yeah. I did rewatch it, so I watched it on Sunday.
Yeah, this movie is like it's also kind of Apocalypse Now with Muppets.
We were talking about that before. Yeah, like there's like it's very Apocalypse Now.
But anywho,
I really like David Thewlis. Also, he's a guy that like anytime he shows up, I'm like, oh, I love.
Really? Because I thought he sucked in this movie.
No, I just like him in general. He's not good in the movie. No,
he played
Fleam Blumpkin or something in a Harry Potter movie, right, Alec?
I don't know. Remus Lupin.
Remus.
Thank you.
Remus Lupin.
Like I didn't make that name up. The thing I said was so much more stupid.
Yeah.
Dummy. He plays. He's in. I'm thinking about ending things. He's like the dad in that movie.
I think he also got recast. Like as they were getting ready to shoot the movie, I think they had somebody else, and he left because of all the issues.
So much. I meant to rewatch. What's the documentary called? Like Island of Lost Souls or something. I never saw it. Oh, it's really good. It's about.
That's a good documentary.
Isn't that what it's called, God? Something like that.
It's something.
Just called Lost Souls, but it's really good. And like Richard Stanley, we'll get into it briefly before we get into the movie. So Richard Stanley, the director of Hardware, which is a movie I really like, I don't know what else he made. The Color in Space that came out a couple years ago, the Nick Cage movie, but I don't know what else he's made.
That's why Lex recommended it.
Oh, is that right?
Like when I finished watching it, it was like other films like this. That was the first one.
Color of Space.
Like, is that the Lovecraft movie?
That's a Lovecraft movie.
I didn't really care for it. And then I rewatched it and I was like, it's pretty good. But like Richard Stanley was supposed to direct this movie and they like fired him in like the middle of the movie. He's not the credited director either. Like he's credited as a screenwriter in this, but not as a director. But he like hid on, he got fired. They were filming somewhere like crazy remote
Like, on an island.
Right, yeah. But he ended up, like, dressing up like an extra, and apparently you can see him in parts of the movie, which is fucking insane. Like, it's one of the most insane things I've ever heard. But yeah, this movie, you can tell that this movie was, like, chopped together. Like, what was originally, like, written and what they put,
like, because... How much coke were they doing that they're like, yeah, we'll put this out in theaters? Kids like Marlon Brando still, right? Like, what the fuck
it's
were they
thinking? It's a very Attitude Era, like, 90s, like, science fiction movie.
All right, Gox, go ahead.
So, turns out, so, Island Dr. Moreau, as told by Richard Stanley, who turns out is not Neil Marshall, which was a huge eye-opening experience for me.
That
was a funny
conversation that me and Gogs had. Gogs was like, "Oh, I love Doomsday. I love it." I'm like, "Dude, it's Neil Marshall." Like, everything he mentioned was Neil Marshall. I was like, "That's not Richard Stanley. Two different people."
Made a mistake. So,
and you don't like Hardware, which I was surprised by. I really enjoyed
Hardware's fine. It just didn't do it for me like other. It doesn't do it for me like Dog Soldiers, which is not by Richard Stanley.
Dog Soldiers, though. That was
shout out. Anywho. The H.G. Wells classic tale, Island of Dr. Moreau.
Has anyone read the book?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope. I read The Time Machine. That's the extent of my H.G. Wells knowledge.
I read War of the Worlds when I was like 10. And I don't know, like, reading that era of science fiction is very hard. Oh,
it's the fucking worst.
It's so tough to read.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen cover of War of the Worlds is much better.
Oh, I agree.
The First Man in the Moon is a pretty good story. I'll just say that out. Shout out H.G. Wells. You're a real one. And you're also not Isaac Asimov, which was another thing we
had. Oh, yeah, Gox thought H.G. Wells was Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, they were only apart by about like 100 years or so.
Whoopsie-daisy. Anyway.
They're both dead. Fuck them. The Time Machine has like a lot of weird eugenic stuff going in, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So they make all the brown people live at the center of the earth.
Yeah. Whoopsie. Here we are. So, Island Dr. Moreau. Movie opens and it's just a big ass ocean. And you get a voiceover from Lupin. And he's like, dude, my plane went down in the big ass ocean. And it was me and two other dudes. And, they start scrapping for water, and then you see that in for like a good couple of minutes. Homeboy pulls out a Bowie knife. He doesn't puncture the raft, but he punctures the dude, and then the other dude gets it, and Thula's kind of like avoids the whole scenario. Then the one guy gets Yokozuna'd out of the fucking pit together, and there's blood everywhere, and the shark's like, oh, hey! Instead of shark starts eating their ass collectively, and another guy pops up, and he's like, hey, let me back in the raft. And then Thulis ends him with a paddle. And this is all over. This is just a preview of the water wars. So brace yourself, humans. His ass gets picked up by a big-ass junk? What's a big sailing trading vessel in the Southeast Asian world?
I think it's called a junker, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, a junket is like a press tour.
It's a press dealie. Well, he gets on a press junket, and they fish him out of the water. And
junker is a German tank.
Yeah. Iceman just IVs straight piss into his veins, and then he's like, hey, welcome back, champ. You're on a boat now. He's like, oh, wonderful. Where are we going? He's like, oh, you know, we're going to go somewhere. He's like, are you a doctor?
I didn't know David Thewlis was Australian. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I can't go to Bendigo today. So he's like, don't worry, come with me and these rabbits to this island where shit's happening. He's like, all right, I got nothing else to do. I'm with you.
I hate animals, by the way. This will be important later.
He hates
Val Kilmer's character is wild.
He's an anaphobe.
Not an anamorph.
So they show up on this island, and he's like getting unpacked with all the rabbits, and then they're like, yo, this used to be like a resort town, but that went tits up. And at some point it was uninhabited or inhabited by locals. And then it got bombed to piss, and then World War II, and then resorts, but none of that worked out. So now we're here.
They're in Cuba.
Yeah. With the famed doctor, like, G.H.R. Moreau, and this guy's out here doing it. And yeah, David Thewlis, like,
he's like a Mr. Sinister type. Like, he's like a geneticist. Yeah, but
he's not good at it.
So. He's like a Mr. Sinister if he was Homer putting the dog and the cat in the bag.
Right, no, he's Hugo making a pigeon rat. Is what he's doing. Anyway, they're like...
That's two Simpsons animal chimera references.
So Thewlis is like, oh, I thought he left to go do something else. And they're like, well, no, he's here now.
It's fucking crazy.
So, your English accent is nasty work. Hello!
Straight for the streets of Sussex, they are.
Another Simpsons reference.
So they're like, don't worry, here's the compound. Just fucking chill out. I'm Val Kilmer. Here's your bedroom. Don't
fuck nobody.
One of the things Goggs and I said like immediately was that like David Thewlis is like he was just rescued, like he was at death's door, right? And yeah. He's given a room, like, and yeah, it's weird circumstances, but he's like automatically like suspicious of everything. But like, wouldn't you be happy you weren't dead?
He's mad ungrateful. Yeah. Like, he's mad ungrateful.
What
like,
is it? What's it? He's a UN like interpreter or something. What's
like a
what
UN? Works for the UN in a capacity enough where if I get to a radio, they'll send a plane. And so, hey. He's like, no, we can't do that. There's transmission problems. So sleep in your cage bedroom and we'll talk about it in the morning. So then whole like old boy like pops out of his bedroom. He sees Ferugia Bulk.
Smash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Proto alt just a pin-up dreamboat. Dancing her dance to
address real quick. I'm sorry. I know this is going to take forever, but can we just talk about Nate's weird text about how he had a crush on her return from Oz, a movie nobody saw when he was a kid.
I saw that movie.
Oh, so that's okay.
Wait, you didn't like
it's
that?
It's weird. Like who has that's like, who has a crush when they're like five? Also,
I mean, yeah, it was kind of. It is kind of.
She's like, I
understand. We were all a child. Well, yeah, but
he was also a child. He was a child. It's not like he currently has a crush on Bruce Bulk.
I don't know. I mean, I can kind of relate because when I saw the fucking Professional for the first time, I was like, Natalie Portman's cute, and she's my age.
Yeah, Luke Besson thought the same.
Okay, but I was the same age as Natalie Portman, so it's not as bad.
I had never even heard of that movie until, not The Professional, unfortunately, the other one, The Return to Oz. I was like in my 20s.
No, I love that movie, and
What was it on? Like, where did you see it?
I rented it from the video store. So, like, okay, so little quick sidebar about me as a kid. I was obsessed with the Oz books. Like, there's like 50 Oz books, and I read them all. I love them.
Wow.
And that movie is like, so like everybody knows like The Wizard of Oz, and like the first book is pretty close to the original movie, but those other books get like super fucking weird, like, and
they have the guys with wheels for hands.
Yes, that's all in the book. Like that movie really does a great job at showing how fucking out of control the other Oz books are. Like there's one of the books where like there's this patchwork king and Dorothy has to like cut him in half. Like they're fucking crazy. Anyway,
does her ass just get steady sucked up in tornadoes? Why does she keep going back?
Kind of. Yeah, actually.
Oh no, I'm getting it mixed up with McGee's Alice. Now I was like, no, it just goes back. I'm like, oh, that's a different
also like
franchise.
The art.
Yeah, and she all goes back to the American. Really good.
Is the Wiz canon? Is that in the same?
The Wiz is not canon, though.
Oh, take that.
I mean, it's canon to the Wiz.
And I'm sure when those books were written, there is no black characters in those.
No.
Man, remember in the Wiz when they introduced the Power Glove? That was so cool.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
So bad.
Anyway, sorry.
Power Glove's off.
Hell, this movie is bad.
A thousand times. I love Dr. Moreau. It's so bad.
The Wizard of Oz and Power Glove.
So... Anywho, so this lady's doing her dance, and just also, a veranda.
She hilariously looks so human, whereas all other Moreau's children,
but she looks like
weird ass monkey men.
Like we were talking about, like when the casting director was like, "You look like you could be a hybrid, but still smashable." Yeah. So you're but getting
they do
the nod.
They do no work on her. Like
no, they don't
well, at all. They gotta have something to fuck.
Even when like she's like reverting, all of it just has like kind of fucked up teeth. She kind of looks
like
me.
I'm still into it. I'm still like hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Just tuck your lips.
So, tuck. So she's doing whatever, and then Iceman shows up. And he's like, "Get back to your room." And he's like, "All right." And then they go back to his room and they lock him
what
up.
What kind of doctor is Iceman?
He was a neurosurgeon.
And also a veterinarian.
Yeah, well, he's a veterinarian by just the fact that that's what he has to do.
Oh, okay.
He said, because he was like, "Are you a doctor?" He's like, "Nah, I'm more like a vet." So anyway, so then Thulis, he's like, "Well, I don't want to be locked in this comfortable ass room as opposed to getting my ass ate by sharks. So I'm going to pop the lock on this bitch and go look around." And then they walk into that scene from Alien Resurrection, and there's just a bunch of people in tubes, and then a lady with teats is giving birth to a slime baby, and he's like, "All right, fam, I'm out," and then runs
he's
away.
Crikey.
With a godly god.
Oh no.
Also, they've taught the I don't know what to call these things. The manimals, like, they've taught them surgery, too? Like, they're...
Well, it's not a midwifery, if nothing else.
I believe it's pronounced midwifery, first of all.
Mutates.
Yeah. They're
mutates. Like from X-Men. Not the mutants, the mutates.
Oh, yeah, where they're like Sauron.
Yeah.
I don't want to cure cancer. I want to turn people into dinosaurs.
So Thulis and Chitara
point in they got Alex. Comments, by the way.
Shout out Sauron. Lupin, and actually Alec brings up a good
the
point.
Third.
A man who plays a werewolf later, so he should be intimately okay with the fact that human-animal hybrids are a thing. He scampers off into the trees with Chitara. Wait,
who plays a werewolf?
Thulis. He's in Alec was saying in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, he is a, I thought he meant in this movie.
No. Okay. It's a chilling vision of things to come.
I was fucked up because I was like, "Oh shit, was David Thulis a werewolf the whole time? I really gotta stop playing Candy Crush while I'm watching this."
You're like those TikToks are like, "This movie's boring." You got like Family Guy going on the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta explain video games while you watch your movies.
Yeah.
I need input.
And listen to a podcast.
So then he's like, Ferruccio Bulk's like, "Come with me, meow." And he's like, "Cool." And then they go run off into the woods and they just start hauling ass. So they're like, "We got to find the Sayer of the Law." He's like, "Lady,
and
I don't know what
it is." Important to say
about
that David Thulis is in love with Ferruccio Bulk.
Instantly.
Like, automatically.
Instantly. Like, man.
Yeah.
It's been a minute for him, probably. Also, he brushed with death, you know, and like
he's been
not for
fucking
nothing
doing science on Rwandan or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably hasn't seen like a healthy broad in a minute.
And she's the only healthy broad in the whole scenario. So
yeah
there's no women on the island.
Well, there are women. One
there's
gave
no
birth.
Human
we saw
women.
It. Yeah.
For 90% women, anyway.
So they're trucking through the old jungle, and then they find a dead rabbit. It's like, hey, that's not allowed. And then they keep going, and they make their way to like a monkey man in like a two-piece suit with a club, like comes out
and
nowhere.
O'Brien.
And he's like, "Yo, what up?" And they're like, "Hey, he's got five fingers too." And he's like, "All right, bet I'm gonna take you to the goat man." So they do, and we go to like an old World War II bunker that's surrounded by a bunch of down planes. And there's a whole lot of things. And they're all sitting there like, and he's like, "I don't know." And then they go downstairs and the founder of the feast, the reason we're watching the movie, Ron Perlman's like out here like preaching. Is like, you walk on two legs. You don't eat meat. We don't shit our pants. We use real toilets. We're men, goddammit. We're going to be real about this.
I had a hard time figuring out who Ron Perlman was because they all look like Ron Perlman. Yeah.
Which they one do. They all Mark look DeCascos? And sound like, bro, wait, there was a Mark Dacascos was in this movie?
Yeah, I thought that's why I got picked.
No, which Ron Perlman
is the thread, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Dacascos is one of these things.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, a double up.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Anywho, so they're like, all right, here's a man, dude. This is fun for us. Man, I don't know what we're going to do with you, but hooray. And then Vito Corleone comes through in his Hummer with like big old JBLs, like blasting music, like letting everybody know what's up.
Dude, so. Every time he's in the movie, like it's fucking great. Like you can tell, like he didn't take direction and just did whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah,
Boba Fett is in this movie too.
Oh really? No, shit!
Wait, which Boba Fett?
Team Maru Morrison.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of Django.
He played as Zello. Whoever the fuck that is.
Whichever one that was.
And Mark Dacascos played Lo Mai.
Yeah, I just
wait,
said...
Ron Perlman was the Sayer? I thought... Wait, hold on.
See, you had the same problem I had.
Was the hyena swine.
Ron Perlman was the keeper of the law. The Sayer of the law.
Production note, TJ mentioned something about Brando. Brando decided he did not want to read a script or learn a script, so they either had to feed him his lines or let him improv.
That shows...
Yeah, he is in a completely different movie.
Well, like, he shows up from a fucking George Miller movie. Like, he looks like he should be atop a war rig of some sort.
Yeah, no, he's very Morton Joe-ish.
And then he riffs because he's wearing this weird like white powder makeup. And at some point, there's like a drop line where he's like, "I have a problem with my skin, and that's why I have to wear it." Like, it's like, okay,
the sun is too much here on the island, and I gotta get off. Yeah. Put a white powder on. So
he goes. They're really, like, oh yeah, really dialing the impressions to 11.
Here we are.
I really appreciate it.
Marlon Brando. I forgot. They saw the dead rabbit, and then they saw like a Cheetahman, and then we saw the worst CGI in the whole movie as scampered away. Anyway.
Oh, no. You haven't gotten to the worst CGI. The worst CGI is the rats. We were talking about that.
Oh, yeah, those were bad, got too. On.
The CGI rat. It's funny, too, because all the practicals, for as much problems this movie has, I thought all the practical effects looked really good.
The only time it doesn't work really is when he has his...
counting the makeup?
Yeah, I thought the makeup was good. Really? I thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
I thought it looked the first pass of orc makeup before they refined it to look like an orc.
I mean, that is fair.
There's one sequence later where the little Kevin guy, what is the South Park dude, the little midget guy?
Yeah,
he's like on the front of one of their trucks or jeeps or something, but they're just using like the dummy and not whatever. The puppet's not moving, so it just looks like it's fucking dead.
Well, and then there's a part where he's like nude, which I was like very uncomfortable with. I was like, what is going on now?
I don't care for that.
Because he already looks like a ball sack.
Yeah, and that guy, apparently... That guy, that was one of Brando's things, like, that man was, like, the Guinness Book record holder for being, like, the world's smallest man.
I thought for a second it was that guy, he was, like, an Indian midget that was in, like, these James Bond movies. Do you know what I'm talking about, TJ?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but no, it's not him. That guy just happened to live on the island, and Brando saw him and was like, he's got to be in the movie.
Well, like, I guess Brando also had his own island somewhere in the vicinity of where this was shot that he owned, that he would just like leave and go to his island and nobody could communicate with him.
The island of Dr. Brando. Where are we? Oh, so Brando shows up. He's like, what's going on, everybody? Fuck's happening here. The Iceman pulls out a 9mm and puts it on Thulis, and he's like, Brando's like, yo, just fucking give him the piece, let him do what he needs to do. Thulis like loves that gun for a good while. Fucking pops, does a desk pop, gets everybody scared. He's like, just fucking stand up.
There's a point in this movie where I thought of you, where Thulis is like scratching his head with the gun. I was like, that is not good.
There's no trigger discipline, and it's pretty bad. fucking, oh, and Brando's like, oh, by the by, I got this Atari Jaguar controller that can make all your ribs hurt. So here's one for you. And he fucking zaps a handful of them. And he's like, all right, let's go back to the house for dinner. And he's like, oh, by the, you know, then he sort of lays it all down. He's like, you know, I just came out here to just, you know, piss in God's face and make other unseemly evil creatures. He's like, oh, that's fun. What's for dinner? Well, oh, rabbit.
There's a line later where it says, I came to turn animals into men and men into gods. Or yeah, Val Kilmer says that. Yeah.
And I don't know. They want to make perfect men or some such. And they're like, all right, well, we're having rabbit for dinner. That's funny because we don't eat animals. And then everybody gets upset about it. And you meet all the other kids that look awful compared to Ferruccia Bulk.
Right,
and
none of them look like she looks fine. Everyone else looks like a monkey man.
Nightmare.
Yeah, so, they all look, yeah.
So then they're like, all right, well, who killed the rabbit? It's like, I don't know. We found one in the fucking woods. They're like, oh, we can't have that. We better have a trial. So then they go back to the goat man's house. And they're like, bring forth leopard dude. And they're like, hey, leopard dude, you can't do that no more. And he comes at Brando, and Brando's like zibbity zap, and then he hits the ground, and then fucking Lenny Kravitz walks up to him with a 9 and fucking puts one in his skull, and he's like, we're killing dudes now. This movie just starts like happening.
It was like a cattle gun, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they, because
like,
they
stuck in his head, it didn't even like no penetration.
So they take
not full penetration.
Not full penetration. Like you saw, there was like 3 inches sticking out of his skull. So you can only imagine how much was in his skull to end his ass. So then they roast him, and then his boy gets his charred remains out of the firebox.
And that that was Mark Dacascos.
That was Mark Dacascos. Okay,
he's the one who got grilled.
Wait, Dacascos got grilled or Boba Fett got grilled?
Dacascos got grilled.
Ew, poor Dacascos. So, Dacascos.
But it would be fine if it was Boba Fett. Jesus Christ.
I do like Starlight.
I do appreciate that they gave the Asian guy a Chinese name, even though he just looks like a leopard.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. So the charred remains are pulled out by Lomai's best friend Hyena Swine. Which is a hell of a fucking
name. That's a real name.
Fucked on the names.
Yeah.
I guess that was the two things plus man that were made.
We were going to name him.
What's Low My then?
We were either going to name him Steve or Hyena Swine.
Yeah. Well, Low My is, you know. I have no idea what that is.
Hyena Swine sounds like the third bass player for the Damned, you know, when they're like kind of getting back together, but not really.
Yeah.
Well, so Hyena Swine figures out that there's these implants in him that make the pain happen. He comes to this conclusion almost immediately and then feels around in his own rib cage and then proceeds to rip the damn implant out, freeing him from the Atari-based control of Dr. Moreau. So
who taught you how to fly?
So cross cut. Fucking Val Kilmer's out here in the mix handing out anti-mutagen and methamphetamines to all the mutates.
There's a point in the movie they're like, what are you giving him? And he's like, oh, you know, some meth and like some other stuff. It just keeps him calm.
It's
like
methadone mushrooms and something to keep them. It's like what something they needed to stop going full beast mode. So he's fucking hammering all them with this nonsense. And then Hyena Swine is like lurking in the background. And they're like, oh, what's up, Hyena Swine? And he's like, fuck y'all. And they're like, what do you mean, fuck y'all? And then he like throws the device at him. And that
fuck
freaks out.
What I do?
Yeah. Iceman goes and grabs his rifle and is about to go fucking JFK this dude. And then fucking Thulis is like, no. And like pops him one. And he's like, well, we can't have this. This is bad. This is the brewings of revolution because we are oppressors. And so then that's what happens. And for the rest of the movie, you have Hyena Swine and his gang of misfits raid the compound after they've removed their implants. They fuck Dr. Moreau up in a hammock, is the weirdest way to
they
die.
They pop his hand off like a ripping a movie ticket. It is absurd.
Yeah, he got Stretch Armstrong, but it failed miserably.
And his limbs stretched next week.
So his scenes in this movie are so limited.
Bro, his ice hat, you didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah. But, was... And TJ brought this up. We're watching. I remember from the documentary as well. He was just like, what if I just wore a bucket? And they're like, I don't know. What the fuck are you on, champ? And so, yeah, dude gets fucking slaughtered. And then it's like,
unceremoniously, too. It's like,
it's not like, there's no.
It's like the middle of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of movie left. And the biggest name in this movie is now checked out, right? He's probably had 15 minutes of screen time. So now, the revolution. Well,
they did have their piano scene, which is fucking pretty funny.
Oh, well, right. There was a scene before dinner where everyone was tickling the ivories. And where did they get that ass piano from? Doesn't matter. They shipped that shit. The revolution is not televised, but it is all over the place. Shit's getting burned down. People are going bananas. His kids
I'm going to be honest with you. These fucking Muppet men shooting machine guns is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. I was fucking howling.
They're dudes have AKs with IDKFA fucking full ammo, no reloads required.
Oh, they had the fucking Metal Gear headband, the infinite ammo shit. I was crying, and it's meant to be dramatic, but
it's hilarious.
These fucking things with these guns is just fucking next level.
And so everything's going down wacky bananas, they're turning on each other. At some point, fucking Val Kilmer gets all gussied up in full. Dr. Moreau garb.
He turns into Brando for some reason. It's weird.
So they're whatever. Everybody's having it. And then his ass gets assed out. And then he destroyed all of
I hate when you get assed out. That's
so first of all, he destroyed all the regression serum. So he knows that all these things are gonna go full anamorph. And then Thulis is like, but I haven't had a chance to bang the cat lady yet. I need more serum.
That really is the motivating factor for the end of the movie. It's Thulis is just I can't have this woman turn into a whole ass cat because I don't know, morality wise.
Yeah,
how that is for me.
At what line does become bestiality? That's his fucking internal struggle.
Right. I guess at some point he ended up on a boat trying to get away and those rat people got him, but that was really inconsequential. They burned the docks. Everything's burning. Shit's on fire. Hyena Swine is going hard in the paint. He's shooting his buddies. He's shooting everybody else.
They're shooting the guns and I know you guys will appreciate this. I don't know how this will play everywhere else, but he's shooting it like Omar Epps and Jesse Ventura shooting those AKs in the fucking fake movie in Major League 2, the White Hammer, Black Lightning or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or Black Hammer, White Lightning. Mine fell further. Well, mine were deader.
So it also comes out that they were going to use Thulis's DNA to stabilize Perusia Bulk into becoming a lady. People are just shit's just happening. People are getting got. At some point, Iceman catches one, and by catches one, I mean he's eaten alive by animal people.
Animal Americans.
Ferruzia Balk gets she gets lynched by her brother for, I guess, fraternizing with humanity or some such. And then her brother gets zapped by Hyena Swine. Everyone's getting killed. The little wimpiest brother at some point blows some shit up and then makes Hyena Swine lose his gun. And then fucking Douglas is able to fucking, I don't know, get the infinite round AK-47 and make a retreat. But then Hyena Swine casts himself into the flames.
It does beg the question, what was the purpose of having all these machine guns for right. Ostensibly yeah, two say, guys.
No, I was gonna say, why do they have so well, maybe many? They were gonna weapons. Make
like an army and like take over. I don't know. Let's say sure. Guam.
Yeah, so we'll put lasers on the raptors.
Right.
So the peaceful goat man is left, and he's like, "They're like, I'll send help. I'll come back for you." He's like, "Don't bother, yeah, because we're gonna be fucking animals soon."
Yeah, I ain't never fucking coming back. Yeah, we'll then, be back. I ain't coming back here.
Yeah, and then old boy's I'll go get like,
regular pussy. This is too dangerous.
I'd rather die at sea in this makeshift. Like he like took a canoe and added some pallets to it.
Has no idea where he is.
Yeah, he has zero concept of where he is. Has
shown no nautical ability,
and no. he set an outboard motor on it.
Yeah,
no gasoline.
And he's just loading up. His only provision was a fucking coconut. Yeah, he starts
like puttering away on it. It's like, but he has no like spare gas.
I'll see y'all in New York City. Yeah,
you're gonna get across the whole ass ocean, like wherever the fuck you are. You know, I said this to guys when
he's basically like the Muppets. He's like gonna travel by map,
right? Yeah. I said this to guys when we started watching the movie. You're like, man, the ocean's big as fuck. The ocean's real big.
He didn't have a compass. He didn't have shelter. He brought a bucket of coconuts, nothing to open the coconuts with. And he sets tail out of a harbor to just die.
He's got like a 0% chance of ever getting to land. Like, there's no way.
Like, it's no, like, you got like, you. Like, you gotta eat a bullet at that point. Like there ain't no fucking shot.
He was spinning the wheel for supplies, and he landed on all the worst options. It was like
he skipped the inventory fucking tutorial.
Have you tried to open a coconut? Like
no,
it's
no,
impossible.
It's challenging.
I mean, he's gonna do it with his bare hands in the middle of the ocean.
He ain't built like that. It's over.
He's gonna just gnaw on it.
No, it's gonna go fever.
Yeah,
oh, Crawley, don't take any of this kind of cannot.
Yeah, he's done. He's absolutely done.
Yeah, it's over. Inside.
But, like, it's not the movie. It'd be a better ending if the movie was, like, you know, explicit of the fact that he's going to die. But it was more like a victorious, like, oh, I it's got totally off.
Yeah, because he's narrating he's it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so you're, he got there somehow.
And I was rescued in the middle of the ocean by, let's say Mo.
I need these coconuts full of electrolytes.
Yeah, it's Jover for that guy. I'm 100% doing a fucking gun tasting. Like, there's no shot. Like,
that would have been a better movie. Like, if he realized he's in, like, a no-win situation and just ends himself.
It just turns into the end of the mist.
Or he can at least paint himself up like Marlon Brando. I mean, they probably got more white paint.
Yeah, I think something fuckable might evolve here. Let's just hang out.
Alec, was your favorite part of the movie the science?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the science in this movie is something else. I still don't really understand what Moreau was doing. Like, what is his... like end goal was?
I'm sure it's more explicit in the book, but you know how readings for certain types of people I don't know who this movie is for. Like, do you remember I think the second to last movie that Marlon Brando was in, the whole marketing campaign was that it was Marlon Brando was in it, The Heist, I think it's the called Heist. The one with Edward Norton. Yeah, that movie sucks.
It's terrible.
And he's barely in it. But it's like a comprehensible movie. Like, it's like, oh, it is a heist movie. It does what it says on the box. I don't know who they expected to like this besides us retroactively 30 years later.
Why were they like, we need Brando? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure they needed a name.
They couldn't get a Brad Dourif and make the movie much cheaper.
I am sure a fair amount of people saw this movie explicitly because Marlon Brando was the cat. I believe so.
Really?
I don't think it was neither you nor I.
Did anybody pull the numbers?
People older than us probably were like, ooh, Marlon Brando.
Do you think they were like, why do they have, why is that shrimp from the Muppet shooting a machine gun? It's like, oh, it's dramatic. It's like, I laugh my balls off. Like, they had to, I don't know, man. Like, I would love to just see the editing process of this movie, because God knows what didn't make it in there.
Right.
Like, yeah, this is literally all they had. And it's like, this is what we got. This is all the footage we have.
So, this movie came out. Okay, so this movie, supposedly, I don't know if this counts with all the reshoots and everything else, $40 million budget, $49 million box office. So this was a dud.
Yeah.
This movie did not make its money.
No.
I got a hot take. A mild observation. Let's say it this way. I think the only reason this movie got made is because 12 Monkeys was successful the year prior. And people were like, oh, people like weird shit. And they
that connection at all.
I am, and I'll stand on it.
I don't think 12 Monkeys, besides like the beginning, is like super weird. Like, I mean, the concept. But it's like, it's visibly weird in the beginning. Like, it's, but then it just kind of becomes like a regular movie. Like, this movie starts out like a regular movie and then turns into, I don't know what the fuck.
Like, yeah. I don't know if this is supposed to be like a treatise on like society. Like, I don't know what the hell this movie is trying to tell me, but I love it. I love, because it's so
I haven't seen it.
It is directionless. Like, it is so all over the place. Like,
because usually the first when these like
20 minutes are like together, but after that,
it's in Cougar Bananas Land.
Yeah, Gog said it once. Like, Brando dies, like the movie just, it's just like we just shot some shit. Like, I don't even know.
It's just coverage. It's all just. But like. Shit, what was I gonna say? Oh fuck. Never mind. Go ahead and keep talking. I just totally forgot what I was gonna say.
I'm just trying to see what else was in 96. There was a Dust Till Dawn also in 96.
Good movie. This movie is a fucking mess. Like, you can tell that they had all these problems making this movie. Because like part of me would love to go to the alternate universe where Richard Stanley got to make his version of the movie. I don't think it would have been much more coherent, but I would love to know what was the plan? Because it wasn't what we got on screen, obviously.
Like, Marlon Brando just sitting there like fucking Big Daddy, and they're like, oh, Lord, it's hot today. Look, I just fucking...
Brando is so unhinged in this fucking movie. Like, for you to tell me that he wouldn't memorize a script and they defeat it. Like, I could have told you that just from watching the movie. Because, like, everything he says sounds like he's making shit up as, like, the scene's going on. And they just have to, like... improv around him.
That
like,
whole fucking dinner party with the piano.
That scene where the little guy is playing piano with him. It's like, what the
it
fuck
was
is
on his usually, own piano on top of Marlon Brando's piano.
Usually these big like huge
new meaning of the word baby grand piano.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where the mini me from Austin Powers, is a direct reference to that. But like, usually these humongous bombs are like, I'm trying, like Heaven's Gate. Like, it's these like big epic movies that are just kind of boring and like not super. This is not that. No. This is like almost completely incomprehensible. Like, it should be a simple like, oh, mad scientist makes these weird things because he's fucking crazy. Like, but like, the movie is just insane. Like, oh, we've got the system of laws, and like, but now we're just shooting. Like, it turns into fucking Rambo 4 at the end.
It's insane. But they spend no time with anything.
No,
like enough to develop it or for you to question it. You're just kind of like, okay, here's where we are now. Like, we're going.
Do you think there were more scenes where the animals, like, you see their society and they're just like, yo, it's too hot in this shit, we're dying. Like, we
there's probably a 4-hour cut of this movie somewhere.
Yeah, probably so.
Like, there's a canned cut of this.
Yeah, but there's an Island of Dr. Like, Moreau redux.
I mean, there's this whole plot point in the by the end of the movie where like some of the monkey men like they want a like functioning society, but then like, cause they're like, we still have law. Right. And it's like, no, we don't have law. Father died. And it's just like, none of this stuff is really fleshed out or like explained or like really kind of like, it's just kind of there. Like it's wild. It's a wild fucking movie. I don't know. Okay. Five Knuckle Shuffle Time, I guess. WWE champion, John Cena, everybody.
Yeah.
Gogs, you never go first on these.
I'm I remember this movie earlier in my life, and I remember it being a mess and not fun. But this time I watched it, it was a mess and it was fun. So yeah. I'm going to give it a 7. It is silly, but and it's not great, but I did enjoy it and I will remember it. So like the costume, I thought the costumes were cool. I thought the practicals were cool. I enjoy a big confusing mess at times, and there's something about it's trying so hard and failing at it that makes it almost endearing that I enjoy. Yep. And it's just like it's a big goddamn swing.
It's a big swing then, where they're not even facing the mound.
Right. Right. That's a good way to put it.
It is, and then all the lore that surrounds it kind of makes it even more kind of charming. Like I remember watching Lost Souls and hearing about Richard Stanley like being fired from his job on an island and then sticking around and putting on wolf makeup and being an extra just to continue to be part of the production. And it's one of those like touchstones. Like, I don't know if you guys remember this or not. I still remember the fucking, I remember the trailer like in my head
Cullen from Transformers did the trailer narration apparently.
It's fucking so weird and it's so of its time and I don't desire it to be remade. I hope it never happens.
No, because they'll fix it.
Because they'll fix it. And I don't want
that. They'll make it a real movie, and I don't want that.
No, I want this. This is...
I'm surprised this isn't, like, a Tubi movie or something.
Yeah.
Because this shit's got to be in, like, the public domain now, because, like, Time Machine, they've made a billion of those, and, like, War of the Worlds is public domain now. Like, this has got to be...
Yeah, but if it was a Tubi movie, it would be, like, the Funky Island of Dr. Monroe.
Dr. Monroe.
You can watch it for free on Sling TV.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. No. Apparently, what a disaster. Like, what a fuck.
What a horrific train wreck.
Yeah. And just with, like, actors you love and...
And some
there you
don't.
Have it. And some you don't. And Ferruzia Balk, Sean.
I'm also going to give it a 7. I kind of want to give it an 8. This movie is bad. Like, don't get it twisted. But I love the idea of, you know, there was some high school or maybe middle school English teacher somewhere that was like, oh, this movie's based on an H.G. Wells. I'm teaching H.G. Wells, and he's never seen the movie. So he puts it on for this class of children who immediately run home and explain it to their parents, and that guy got fired. Like, I will never forget some of the images in this movie, whether it's the dinner party or the what if I just put a bucket on my head, or all these fucking animals just shooting machine guns indiscriminately. And, like, to what end, nobody really knows. And, like, Alex said, I don't know, let's say Mo. Like, wait a minute. Like, you cannot, if you pull on any thread on this carpet, the roof of the house will cave in for some reason. Like, it is very fragile. It is a sugar glass movie, basically. But it's, I wish Marlon Brando would have made 100 movies in the 5 years before he died. Like, if they were all going to be like this.
Like a Nick Cage kind of situation. Yeah. Because
he's like, you know how Orson Welles got kind of weird and really fat when, Touch of Evil and Beyond? Yeah. A bunch of horrible cartoon about toys killing each other. Yeah. But, like, give me more of this Brando, because he is fucking bonkers.
Yeah, he's so good in this movie.
Val Kilmer is, like, giving a crazy performance. But it's like not even in the stratosphere of Brando. Like I find this movie like transfixing in all the worst ways. It's like this is the I gave my cousin head of movies. Like I can't stop thinking about it. I was laughing today for no reason, like in a courtroom to myself about these fucking monkey men shooting each other. Like I could not handle it. So yeah, it's a 7, cresting on an 8 almost. in a movie where I don't know any of the characters' names except for Dr. Moreau, and like I don't give a fuck about anybody in the movie at all, like none of the characters or the plot or what's going on. It's all just vibes.
It is vibes. It's a vibes based economy.
Yeah. Well, TJ.
It's also a 7 for me, dog. You know, movie the podcast rule. If you're going to be bad, be confusing. And good Lord, this movie is fucking confusing as shit. Nothing makes any sense. They don't stick to any plot point for more than about 15 seconds. It's absolutely insane. Brando is insane. Kilmer is insane. David Thewlis feels like he's in a different movie than everybody else. And apparently he was, because he got cast late. I loved it, though. Like, I couldn't turn away. Like, I thought this movie is, like, this movie is so entertaining. Like, it's so bad. But, like, it's like I said, I don't even know if we were recording when I said this, but this is, like, this is one of those, like, Spider-Man 3 where, like, normies are like, oh, it's the worst movie ever made. And it's like, no, this movie is a fucking gem. This movie is so much fun. Like, I loved it, and I could see myself watching this again for a third time.
Like, this is a TJ Payton movie. I'm just going to throw this on and not have to listen to any of it.
I mean, it's so much fun, and it's visually interesting, I will say. Like, they do a great job. Like, the movie looks great. But, like, every time Brando shows up, it's like, what is he even doing?
It's not boring.
And, like, everybody's just kind of like that. Like, you could tell, like, everyone in this movie is just kind of stuck in this holding pattern of like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just going to riff. Like, everyone, not just Brando. I mean, they're all following Brando's lead, but like, no one knows what's going on in this movie. Nobody knows how to play the characters. Like,
this is kind of the movie that Virus should have been.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But
yeah, no, it's great. I loved it. It's terrible, but like, this is the kind of bad movie that I could just watch over and over and over again. I loved it. 7 for me, dog. Ow!
Sorry, boys. It's a 3.
Oh.
7 plus 3 is 10.
Yep.
21 plus 3 is 24 divided by 4 is 6.
Yeah. Holy shit. Hold on.
Damn it.
Hold on. I gotta write this down.
Checks out, sir.
Yeah. I agree with everything, everybody you said. But it's a 3. It's a 3.
Yeah, I mean, fair. Like, it's you're not wrong.
I can't argue with that.
No, I have not a leg to stand on here.
Yeah, this movie was rough. It took me like 4 sittings to get through it. It's only 1 hour and 40 minutes long.
Yeah, it's very short.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Sometimes maybe it's not better to be confusing than boring. Sometimes boring is
incorrect. Okay. That's wrong.
I know. But yeah, this was something else. I would be interested in watching the documentary of, which I'm pretty sure is longer than the movie itself.
It has to be. Yeah, I think the documentary is pretty long. But the documentary, I'll put it on the Plex. It's not already on there.
Give it a look. The documentary is fun.
Yeah, documentaries. The whole story behind the movie is more interesting than the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those just nightmare productions.
Oh yeah. All right.
Okay.
Who's got a pick next week?
I think you're up in the rotation, TJ.
It's me.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
I've got one. If you're stuck,
go ahead. Go ahead, Sean. Well, I have a fun one to pick since we were talking about Nate.
Oh no! Is it Return to Oz or whatever?
Yeah, but we don't have to do that one.
I hope I don't jerk off.
Oh God! Sean, go ahead, Sean.
Why does he sound like that?
I think you should. That's how Nate sounds when he's not doing his nice guy voice.
That is how Nate sounds. Yeah.
When he drops the mask, that's how he sounds. I want to start jacking off.
Otherwise, it's very much. I hope I don't jack off. Yeah.
I don't know who else is Nate in Escape or Return to Oz, so that might be like a. I'm sure we'd find somebody. You
could paint us into a corner.
Yeah, I'm going to take Val Kilmer.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a movie I don't think maybe anybody has seen. If anybody's seen it, it's TJ. It's called The Salton Sea. Val Kilmer is a jazz musician trying to solve his wife's murder, and it has the most unhinged Vincent D'Onofrio performance I think he's ever done.
I like that movie. All right.
Okay.
Salton Sea next week. That's a good one. And the thread is Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Oh, we might get to do a Vincent D'Onofrio. So my pick will be next week, so I get to get D'Onofrio. Ooh.
Yeah, like you can pick that Jurassic Park where he wanted to turn the dinosaurs into an army.
Did we already review The Cell? I feel like we did.
I don't believe
so. I think we've kicked it around a million times.
I think we've threatened to.
I might pick The Cell. I might pick
Tarsim's The Cell?
Yeah, I like
that. Shout out to Tarsim. That guy rules.
It'd be fun to watch that over again. I don't know. We'll find out next week. But all right, so this week coming up, The Sultan Sea. Yeah. That's the show, everybody. You know what to do. Eat your own ass. Go watch The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
Or watch Lost Souls. I mean, do whatever the fuck you want.
You can do both. I don't care.
We don't run your life.
Lost in La Mancha. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now I have to hit stop recording.
Yes, queen.